relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news. Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream today. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Well, they're cultural evolutions. We saw them in ancient Corfu. They've been in French Revolution, Chinese Revolution. They always have a minority of the population. It's not about the icon, the statue. It's about humiliation and power. So if you're going to take down Teddy Roosevelt at the National Museum, why don't you go up to Mount Rushmore and blow Teddy Roosevelt up? But you don't want to do that because the people in that area of the Dakotas might resist. Or if you really want to get rid of Robert E. Lee's head in Washington, why don't you go to Stone Mountain, Georgia, where we have the largest boss relief in the world, and attack that? They won't do that because they know a few people will stand up and say, you're not going to do it. And, you know, this has been empowered by a lot of conservatives who say, well, the Confederates were racist, and I just want them gone, as if that's going to end it. And I don't want the mob to do it if it was just on a vote of the city council. But think of the logic. It's the mob says back to them, well, if you want it gone, why waste the city council vote? It's sort of like the Soviet Duma has to ratify a prejudged conclusion. And it's not let the city council come to any conclusion they want. And then we get these personal agendas in it. Suddenly the CEO of Chick-fil-A, who's been the subject of a gay marriage boycott in the past and has had looted stores, all of a sudden he says he wants to, what, wash the feet of African Americans, and he's basically saying, what are you going to do about Wendy's? What are you going to top me, McDonald's? And then, Tucker, where did all these generals at suddenly the age of 66, 68, discover that Robert E. Lee was a symbol of the Confederacy, and they're shocked at Fort Bragg and Fort Benning, and they want his statue removed from West Point?
That is one of the most succinct expressions of what we are witnessing in America today from Professor Victor Davis Hanson, regular guest here in America First, senior fellow at the Hoover Institution and author of the remarkable work, The Case for Trump. Professor Hanson, welcome to America First.
Thank you.
You used the phrase humiliation and power to describe what is going on right now. We are hours away. It was postponed from yesterday because of the weather. I guess revolutionaries don't like a bit of rain. But this evening at 7 p.m., the so-called Black Lives Matter movement wishes to destroy, remove, pull down the statue to Abraham Lincoln on Emancipation Square in America. What is your response to those who say, look, we have a history that is problematic, and if these statues, if people want to have a discussion about taking those statues down, let's have the discussion. I want to ask the question and have your reaction to it. Can we posit any good faith on the other side of this argument today in America?
Well, if you mean, does anybody who calls for the destruction of, just one example, Robert E. Lee, really believe that that's going to affect police behavior and avoid another incidents of George Floyd-like death, or mitigate the 7,500 people who were killed every day, every year, Black American? No, they don't believe that. But they are trying to discredit an entire system, a culture, its icons, its memory, its history, its commemoration. And they're doing a pretty good job for the small numbers they have, because the president is in a dilemma. And that is, it's a federal system. So if the blue states, their governors, mayors, state attorney generals, and police chiefs don't mind a chop, or they find it advantageous to allow Seattle or Minneapolis to be lawless, for various reasons, either they're afraid of the mob, or they agree with the mob, or they want to hurt Donald Trump's chances or create an image of national anarchy, or they don't want their economy to participate, whatever, in the recovery, then what does he do? Well, in past insurrections and riots, these officials called in the federal government. That's not happening for the first time in my life. And more importantly, it's not at all sure that the military, based on the attitude of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, four former Joint Chiefs, 12 esteemed military, retired four-star generals and admirals, would consent to that. By that, I mean they would use their force of public opinion to suggest that that was illegitimate. So he's not going to do that. And if he doesn't do that, how does he dispel the sense that he's presiding over anarchy, which is central to his base? And all he has to come up with a creative way. He's going to have to make a federal task force to indict people who are organizing these. He's going to have to protect the civil rights of individual businesses that have been the victims of conspiracy, that have denied them of their constitutional protected freedoms. He might have to say to people in California, if you want to go to Yosemite, that's a federal park, and you're welcome to camp out. It's safe. It's open air, but we're not going to let the state usurp our right as a federal park, in the way that Lincoln said that with federal armories and the recalcitrant Confederate states. So there's the things he can do. He might want to say to states, if you fail to enforce federal laws within your jurisdictions, maybe we're going to have to look at your federal funding. But he's going to have to be creative, and it's going to require him to be a little bit quieter with a bigger stick, rather than, in compensation for the inability to use federal troops, loud with a twig. Because what we're seeing in this defection in his polls, to the degree that polls are accurate, I think represents not just the swing voters or even the swing voters, but some in his base who say, you know what, I voted, I want this stop. It's anarchy, it's revolution. And they're not worried about the constitutional limitations on presidential power or the realities of working with what is essentially a recalcitrant Pentagon.
And in your estimation, or is it possible to tell, Professor, are we witnessing simply 1968 redux, or is this a far more cynical shell game whereby the left, the institutional left, says we have no way to win the election on policy platforms, so we're going to use violence on the streets, and that's going to be a feint or a dodge? Are these people sincere, Professor, or is this a political play?
Well, it's being aided and abetted by the DNC, and they see it as useful, as a lot of would-be architects of revolution do. They think it's useful to cause chaos or to pressure the blue states not to participate in the recovery or whatever their agenda for the November election. And in that sense, it's a little different. What I see is different from 68 is we didn't have mayors and governors actively resisting help from the federal government and either sympathizing with or appeasing or contextualizing the violence as we do in Seattle and Minneapolis, Philadelphia, Detroit. And the second thing is there was a group of liberals in those days, and they were attacking what they called the new left. They said, we're not part of this. We're not part of, and we don't have that. That is gone. The left has been fused into the party of AOC, the squad, the street. And Joe Biden is an empty vessel in which they plan to put into an agenda once he's elected. You will hear in the next 4 months that Joe Biden is as fit as a fiddle.
Yeah.
That he's so fit, we don't need to have debates, that they're just wasted opportunities for real television, reality television stars. We don't need old, in the age of the virus, we don't need old style campaigning. And then as soon as he's elected, we're going to hear leaks to the press and see them from the left that he's completely unfit. We were surprised. We had no idea that he's not able to up, and we're going to have the vice president then usher in an agenda that had no popular support in the 2019-20 Democratic primaries.
The professor just used the phrase, the new left. The new left is now the left. They have co-opted the DNC. There is no differentiation. If you want to know where the new left comes from in terms of Gramsci, Marcuse, Adorno, Alinsky, Chapter 3 of my book, The War for America's Soul. But before you read that, order The Case for Trump. Follow the good professor at VD Hansen on Twitter. He is, of course, senior fellow with the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. This is America First, live streaming on YouTube and Facebook. We will be back with the good professor right after these messages.
You know, I don't want to get political, Tucker, but this election no longer is about Donald Trump's tweeting. It's not about Joe Biden's cognitive impairment. It has nothing to do anymore with the lockdown, the virus, the economy, foreign policy. It's a existential question, a Manichaean choice between whether you want civilization and you believe that America doesn't have to be perfect to be good and we're not in its third century going to destroy all that people die for, or you feel it was inherently flawed with a cancer and we have to use radiation, chemotherapy, and kill the host to kill the cancer. And that's the choice we're looking at. And I'm going to vote for civilization.
A stark, stark binary choice. Civilization this November or the forces who wish to destroy civilization. That was Professor Victor Davis Hanson on Fox News. After you gave that interview, Professor, we had Newt Gingrich, Speaker Gingrich, on America First, and he said of those forces that you described, he actually used the phrase, they are barbarians and they should be treated as such. You used in the previous segment, you said the president has to walk softly or you know, talk less but act more strongly. What would that look like in the next few days, given this massive disparity between Democrats running certain states, allowing the anarchists to run amok? What are the options open?
Well, I mean, speak softly in his use of force, in the sense that don't promise his base things that right now he can't deliver, but speak very loudly in defense of civilization and what's at stake and what these people want to do to the country. They want to recalibrate the Constitution. They want a new national anthem. They want to get rid of the Electoral College, pack the court. They have a pretty detailed agenda. But what he needs to do is to activate, and I think he is starting to do it, Bill Barr to get some indictments. He's got to say, as Lincoln did, that your states do not own all the property in your state. There are federal jurisdictions, and I am entrusted to administer those, and maybe Yellowstone or Yosemite or whatever the park is will be immune from your lockdown. And if you're not going to obey federal laws within your jurisdiction, we're going to cut off federal funds. And if you have people crossing state lines or communicating across state lines to organize sedition and violence, we're going to indict them on federal racketeering. And we're going to sue municipalities to protect the civil rights of business owners and others who were injured by the failure of officials to comply with laws. So you can do some of that. But when he says, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to clean up Seattle, his base wants that. We all want that to be cleaned up. But what would happen when a federalized guard went in there? They might have opposition from the city. In Washington, you know that they expelled them from the hotel.
Yes.
Or what the Joint Chiefs of Staff say? He would probably have a press conference and say that he disapproved of that. And what would the military retired community come out and say? So we're in new territory. We haven't been here before. And that's why I wrote two or three articles about the retired military and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, because even though it was sort of subtle, I thought that marked a watershed point in American history where the military in a variety of manifestations was essentially saying, we don't like this elected president and we're going to do something about it. And sooner the better. And I'm quoting explicitly, sooner the better.
It's remarkable to have the highest ranking officer in the most powerful nation in the world, General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, say he apologizes for being photographed standing next to the man who is elected to be his boss's commander-in-chief after a square had to be vacated because of rioters. That's what the good professor is talking about. Read his articles at AmGreatness.com and order the book, The Case for Trump. Professor, say enough, Americans, on November 3rd, choose civilization. And Donald Trump is reelected as our president. What then? We cannot fix in 4 years the fact that 72% of millennials, according to the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, would prefer to live in a socialist or communist America. What can be done on the short term to push back on the forces of this domestic ideological threat?
Well, a lot of it takes place in the university, and the university has been exempt from reason. And so I don't understand why Harvard or Stanford, with $30 to $50 billion endowment, gets a tax-free income when it's so overtly political. I don't understand why they have no moral hazard. So these universities issue $1.6 trillion in student loans and jack up their tuition above the rate of inflation. And then the moral hazard goes on the federal government, i.e., the taxpayers, half of which don't have college degrees and are out working. So we need to say, if you want to issue a student loan and you want that person to have a loan, then you're going to guarantee it on your endowment. And if that might make you be a little bit more efficient, less politicized, we're going to have to look at the university in a lot of ways that are affected by the federal government. We're starting to with Secretary DeVos. They have to comply with the Bill of Rights and sexual harassment cases and other internal discipline. You don't lose your constitutional rights when you set foot on the Yale campus. It just doesn't happen. And yet it does in reality. That would help a lot. And then I think it depends a great deal whether he wins the Senate again and he can get back the House. If he were to do that, then I think he wouldn't be worried about reelection and he would be a lot more muscular. So there are things that are in process as we speak that depend on completion. The wall is making suddenly enormous progress. That alone would stop illegal immigration and would make the process of integrating and assimilating immigrants much different than it is now. And the judges, he would get another 300 judges, and there'd be more deregulation. And so all of these processes that are beginning would continue, and that would emasculate the left. And more importantly, it would force the Democratic Party to say, we're in a McGovern moment. And that made them go back to Jimmy Carter and back to Bill Clinton. And it would say to them, AOC took you over the cliff. And these are the wages. If the opposite happens and they win, then the hard left says, see, we told you the Bernie Sanders AOC socialist model is what got us power. And it would get even more and more and more extreme. I think we're in for a rough ride.
And in the last minute we have with you, Professor Hansen, are there any immediate actions that should be taken with regards to the media and social media?
Well, we're in this dilemma where very quickly that Facebook and Google and other social media, Twitter, use the common airspace, the airwaves, so to speak. And we've decided in the past that when phone companies did that, for example, take one, or television channels, there were certain rules that they had to abide by, antitrust and anti-monopoly legislation. And yet they've been exempt. And yet if you look at the percentages of searches controlled by Google or social media platforms controlled by Facebook, it fits every definition of a monopoly.
We're out of time. Does that mean they have to be broken up?
I think they have to be regulated. I do, yeah.
Regulated. You heard it here first on America First. Buy this man's book, The Case for Trump. He is with the Hoover Institution at Stanford, V.D. Hansen on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious, fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C. Wherever you are, wherever you're, whatever you're doing, don't touch that dial. The Trump campaign has a special offer just for you. President Trump wants to meet you. This will be the first opportunity he's had to meet with American patriots like you since our country started reopening. His team will cover the flight, hotel, and give you VIP access for yourself and a guest. He'll even take a picture with you. All you have to do is text VIP to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump. Again, that's VIP to 88022 to enter to win this contest and to join President Trump in the fight to keep America great for four more years. Paid for by Donald J. Trump for President, Inc.
Sebastian, well, listen to him. He's with us.
Thank you kindly, Mr. President. Louder, Shad, louder. Such majestic music. Sorry, YouTube, they're just fascists. It's Space 1999. Congratulations to our listener who guessed it right last week. The book should already be with you if you want to understand what's going on in America, what it's going to take to defeat the crazies, the anarchists, the neo-Marxists. Check out The War for America's Soul at sebgorka.com. You can get signed copies. Yes, signed copies. S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. I guess the revolution's a tad fragile. We spent a large chunk of yesterday's program doing what? Discussing the impending assault against the statue of Abraham Lincoln, the first Republican president at Emancipation Square in D.C. 7 o'clock last night, and what happened? They postponed it because it was going to rain. Not exactly the hard-bitten revolutionaries they would have you believe. We will see if at 7 p.m. tonight they will return or whether, I don't know, their mummies called them in for dinner. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to David in Oregon, line one. Welcome to America First and Ask Dr. G Anything Friday.
Hey, Dr. G, thanks for taking my call. You're awesome.
Yeah, it's very kind. Are you on a speakerphone, David?
I'll kill it. Here we go.
How do people get to the age of, you know, majority and think you can call a national radio show and stay on speaker? Carry on, my friend.
All right. Hey, so I've got three major crimes I'm seeing happening that aren't being addressed, and I just wanted to bring these things up. I'm seeing hate crimes like crazy from these people, you know, yelling spittle in a man's face because he happens to be a police officer who's a human being with darker pigment. That sounds like a hate crime to me.
Well, not only that, not just spittle, not just screaming at them. Actually, there's video of white middle-class demonstrators and rioters calling black police officers race traitors. I think by leftist standards, that's a hate crime. I think you're right, David. Right. What's your second one?
Well, also just on that one, making people kneel because of their race. That's the same thing. My second one is back in 1964, a little thing was created called the Civil Rights Amendment. And since then, Congress, Senate's been adding racial terms to almost every law. That's a violation of the Civil Rights Amendment. This stuff needs to be stripped.
You have to unpack the logic of that one for me, David.
Well, so because the Civil Rights Amendment says no one, there will be no law that makes discrimination based on race. But when you start making a law that names races, clearly there would be no intention of naming a race in a law unless there was an intention of doing something for or against a race.
Yes, I think you're trying to catch them out on this one by saying the positive discrimination is discrimination and therefore is against the act. I like that, David. That's a smart one. It's a little tricky, but it's smart. And what's your last one?
I don't have direct evidence, but everything you say I hear on the radio says that when they teach like the Constitution in school, they say this is it, but you know, it's evil and terrible. And to me, that's treason.
No, saying something is never treason.
Well, teaching it to these innocent minds and getting them to believe negatively against the country, I see what you're saying. Because that's...
Right, the First Amendment is the First Amendment. Saying I hate America is not treason. Or I hate the Constitution is not treason. Mm-hmm. Taking action against the Constitution and the nation, yes. But saying the Constitution is wrong or I disagree with it, I'm sorry, not in this country. In the Soviet Union, in Pol Pot's Cambodia, that's a problem, David, not here. You see the difference?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's a fine line, but I still...
No, David.
It's not a fine line.
It is a massively broad stripe. It's not a fine line, okay? Saying something is not the same as taking action against the Constitution. But I like your thinking. I think he deserves a signed copy of The War for America's Soul. So, Eric is holding down the fort by himself. He's call screening, running the cameras, and he will get to you, David, and take your physical address so we can wing a copy of The War for America's Soul to you. Paul, Lou, Jim, don't go anywhere. The number here is 833-33-GORKA, G-O-R-K-A. That's 833-334-6752. You can text me. Yes, you can text me on our patriotmobile.com text line 703-869-1262. That's 703-869-1262. It's Ask Dr. G Anything Friday. And our second hour will be Second Amendment Friday. Relief Factor. It truly works. Listen to Eileen from Kentucky. I received the Relief Factor probably about 2 weeks ago. I was at the point where I could hardly walk. I'm 87 years old, so I have to expect these things. I want you to know that I'm walking. I am dancing to the music on the television. I have absolutely no pain. I just want to let you know that you've totally changed my life. Absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. You don't know what Relief Factor has done for me. Wow. God bless you, Eileen. I'm so happy for you. Find out if you could be the next Eileen. Don't you deserve to know? If you've tried everything else, this is what you must do. Go to relieffactor.com, order the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less, and I guarantee you, Dr. G's guarantee, if you take it for 3 weeks, morning and evening, as do I, at the end of that time, you will know if it works for you like it works for Eileen, me, and thousands, tens of thousands of Americans. Do it now, relieffactor.com.
We've waited long enough. Let's get back to work. It's the Great American Comeback with Trish Regan.
I love that song. I think it's my favorite ABBA song, but I think somebody has to do a cover of it. Maybe we can convince our new regular guest, Trish Regan. Welcome to America First.
Good to see you again, Seb.
Hey,
I love that song too.
There are very few true Renaissance people in the world today. I can think of Lord Conrad Black, who is a regular on our show as well. But you are one of them. You are a Renaissance woman. For those who don't know and who may not have heard the the clip you texted me today. What was your professional training when you started off your professional career, Trish Regan?
So I wanted to be an opera singer, and I trained very aggressively for that overseas in the New England Conservatory in Boston, and really had been preparing for that my whole life. And then somehow wound up in the news business, go figure, which is pretty operatic these days anyway, right?
Yes, but, a lot of drama, yeah. A lot of drama.
Shall we say. So I have a background in classical music and languages and history and all those things that don't always get a lot of use, but yet they do, right? Because when you talk about being well-rounded, when you talk about having perspective, a lot of my background influences my thinking today.
Her motto is live free or die. Follow her right now on Twitter, Trish_Regan, R-E-G-A-N. Let's talk about music. Let's talk about the most important song out there. What is your response to the so-called national anthem issue, Trish?
You know what? It's so wrong. It's misplaced, and it's very hypocritical. That's what I would say, Seb. Look, it's not an easy song to sing. Trust me. I mean, the range is all over the place. And, you know, this has been debated, actually, in music circles for years. I mean, I heard decades ago about singers wanting to have America the Beautiful be our national anthem because, yeah, you didn't have somebody really messing up the high note at the end. But when that high note is sung well, it can be pretty darn glorious, right? Because it's a pretty spectacular song and it conjures up such, I think, a feeling of strength. It turns out now that the composer had slaves. So that's what everybody's upset about. So many of our founding fathers, of course, had slaves. And I think it's hard for people to kind of interpret with today's, you know, reality, right? What happened historically? Should we change our national anthem because Francis Scott Key was a slaveholder? That's what they're saying we should do. But here's where it gets really nutty, Seb. They want to change it to America the Beautiful. Another great song, by the way, as I said, and one that's been talked about a lot. That was actually, the lyrics were written by a woman, Catherine Lee Bates, back in, 1893. So I guess the PC police would be happy that it's a woman. But if you look at those lyrics, for goodness sakes, they're talking about alabaster cities. And then the ending with the 1893 language says, till nobler men keep once again thy whiter jubilee. Trust me, somebody's going to get upset at that, right?
You know.
So I think at some point you just have to say, okay, you know what? That was then. This is now. And we have a history. We have an appreciation for our culture. We've come a long ways, baby, right? But you need to understand the time in which these things existed and have some sensitivity to that.
Yeah, you have to understand context, context, context. We're talking to Trish Regan, our new regular guest here on America First. Before we change, before we look at another question, if you haven't done so already, my friends, do it today. You are in the post-COVID reality in terms of getting America back to work. Let's go on a trip together. This December, the Stand With Israel tour. Join me and Mr. My Pillow, yes, Mike Lindell, for the trip of a lifetime. Come with us to the Holy Land. December 2nd to 11th. Register today. We're going to visit all the crucial historic, cultural, and faith sites. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and register. Hit the Stand With Israel 2020 tour button. It's going to be quite a trip. Trish, there seems to be, with this announcement from the governor of Texas, a lot of attempts at hysteria generation in the media, a misrepresentation of what's happening with COVID testing and COVID results. What should our listeners really focus on?
You know, getting back to work, getting back to normal. Look, if you are 65 or older, or you have a serious diabetic condition or a heart condition or an asthma condition that would make you especially vulnerable, I get it. Okay, but everybody else kind of needs to, just get out there again. It's important for the country. It's important for our economy. It's important for our future, for our children's future. I mean, otherwise the consequences, as we have seen, Seb, can be pretty darn severe. You look at the 40 million job losses, right, that happened right off the bat because we willingly shut ourselves down. You know what? We should have been a lot smarter about that. I mean, you could have been more careful, say, with nursing homes in New York City, Governor Cuomo, yeah. Bill de Blasio, and protected those people while still, you know, making sure that everybody else who was healthy in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s was back in the office, you know, continuing life as normal. So I think people just need to understand their own set of risks and respect that, and also respect that we need to move on with our lives.
In the last minute we have with you, Trish, follow her right now, Trish_Regan, R-E-G-A-N. Are the markets still skittish? Is there an unreasonableness in terms of how they react to news of the moment?
For sure. I mean, you know, it's wild. The volatility is pretty nuts out there. And I think people are just taking each and every headline and trying to react to it. But here's what I would say. I mean, you got to be in it for the long term, right? And you've got to be willing to kind of look through to the light at the end of the tunnel. And that light is there, assuming that we don't get a bunch of liberal economic policies in the new year. Assuming that we stay the course and we have the right economic policies, the right tax policy, the right kind of growth generation, we'll be okay. The markets will be okay. But listen, I think a lot is going to come down to November. And you might see some of those jitters starting to move into the market right now. Big reminder, the Fed's there, you know, whether you like it or not, and they're just printing money, so don't fight the Fed.
Don't fight the Fed, but if you're worried about the market, you've got to be worried about the Democrats' crazy economic policies. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump. This is America First. You've been listening to Trish Regan. Don't touch that dial. Have you taken your balance of nature today? Dr. Douglas Howard is giving you 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order. It is literally health in your hands. 6 little capsules, 3 red for vegetables, 3 red for fruit, that are the equivalent of 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Who said kale? That's an evil thing. That's just nettles renamed. If you don't like things like kale, if you find it hard to force that little forkful of spinach down, do what I do. Take Balance of Nature. Go right now to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code G-O-R-K-A or call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Balanceofnature.com. But you've got to use that promo code. You know what it is. G-O-R-K-A. And once you order your Balance of Nature, on top of that, you get free access at the end of a phone line to a health coach. Wow. What a deal. Do it now. Balanceofnature.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A.
Vote Democrat. Don't base your bloody duck, man. I'd rather be dragged stark naked through a field of broken glass.
Did you see that incredible viral video from Seattle? Out of nowhere, when the rioters steal an AR-15 from a patrol car, up walks a man from nowhere in plain clothes, removes that weapon from the rioter, and saves lives. We're going to have former Marine John Karugi, the man who did that, with us to tell us so much more about what really happened on the mean streets of Seattle. So stay tuned. If you haven't done so already, please use our incredible offer from Mike Lindell at MyPillow. He's giving you, my friends, up to 50% off his incredible line of products at MyPillow.com if you use my name. The travel pillow, the body pillow, the mattress toppers, even the pet bed, the towels, the beach towels, all incredible, made in America. Call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. Let's go to who had a call about Victor Davis Hanson. Jim in San Jose in line 4. Welcome, Jim.
Hi, Seth. How are you doing?
Superbly.
Yes, I call because I take the San Jose Mercury News newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And every Friday, Victor Davis Hanson's column is in there, and I've been looking forward to reading it all the time. But for some unknown reason, last Friday, it was removed and replaced with Thomas Friedman. And I live in the People's Republic of California, obviously. So this is in San Jose, California. So basically, it looks like they're trying to actually squelch him as well now.
Have you written to the editors? Have you called up the newspaper?
I haven't yet, but I just wanted to let you know that's what I saw, and I'm going to do that. It's the next thing I'm going to do. But the thing is that, I thought I'd wait another Friday and see what happens two Fridays in a row first.
Right.
And if it happens two Fridays in a row, then I know for sure that there's something afoot. But
if it happens next Friday, you need to do it. Make your voice heard. Thank you for that update. The San Jose Mercury apparently doesn't like the smartest man in America. Thank you, Jim, for that update. Let's go to Tony, Scottsdale, Arizona, line 5.
Yeah, hi, Seb. Great show, and our thoughts and prayers are with General Flynn. I'd like to see him get back involved with the administration. But the reason I called is the BRICS that I see that were delivered to these anarchists. So that shows that it was not spontaneous. It was planned. Somebody had to buy them. Somebody had to deliver them. So I'm just wondering why we don't hear from the administration that they're on the track of these people and get
Tony, it's happening. It's happening. There have been numerous announcements by local police authorities saying that there are investigations underway, so stay tuned for much more. The FBI is also being deployed. AG Barr, the Honey Badger, is on the case. Thank you for your kind words. Let's support Mike Flynn as much as we can, also by going to MikeFlynnDefenseFund.org. That's MikeFlynnDefenseFund.org. Stay tuned. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.